This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Essentially, last year, I was kind of like living off of no income and then got back to work, have this great income. And after a year of not having income, my lifestyle creep significantly diminished. Like
You reset?
Yes. And what I don't want to happen is to have that lifestyle creep again.
This week's episode is part two of my conversation with our guest Raquel. If you haven't already, I highly recommend you go back and listen to part one of my conversation with her, which aired last Friday, May 24th. And then this is the second part of our conversation, which is airing today, Friday, May 31st. I hope you enjoy.
Yeah, I think that you'll get a bump up once you max your 401k. So you're probably doing, if I have my numbers right, around $2,850 a month into your 401k. So let's see when you're going to max this out. So you'll max out your 401k in August, and then your paychecks will go up in September, October, November, and December. You won't have any 401k contributions. So your paycheck will go up. Well, some of it's pre-tax, some of it's Roth, as you pointed out, but the contribution will stop. So you'll get a pretty significant bump up for the last 4 months.
Got it.
Or the other way to do it, which is up to you, is you're just going to have to readjust it twice as a percentage amount. Is you could lower your percentage amount so that from this point forward, or at this point, you're going to be done in August. You know, basically you have 2 months left of this. After 2 months, you'll stop. But then for January, I would set it so that your contribution is going to be taken out over 12 months instead of 8 months. That it's a little easier to budget, I think.
Can you say that again one more time? Sorry.
So you have your contribution amount set for 20% of your salary,
yeah,
right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So 20% of $171,000. So if you just do, we won't worry about the pre-tax or post-tax right now, or pre-tax or Roth right now, but $171,000 okay. Times 20%, right, is $34,200. The 401k employee limit is $23,000.
Okay.
So you can't put $34,200 into your employee contribution in your 401k. You're going to max out at $23,000. So just for rough math, if we take $34,200, which is what you've set up to contribute for the entire year because you started your job in December, right? So yeah. You set these elections up and you were immediately eligible for the 401k. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So then starting in January, we'll just take, so 30, you have it set to contribute in a year, $34,200. So divide that by 12 months. So you're contributing $2,850 a month into your 401k. So what's going to happen is when you hit $23,000, the 401k is going to say, sorry, you can't put any more money in here, Raquel. You've hit the limit.
Yeah.
So then the next number is, so if you're doing $2,850 a month, so times eight, after 8 months, you're going to have put $22,800 in there. So basically, you're going to be done contributing. You're $200 shy. They'll take a partial payment on that first paycheck in September. And then after that, you will no longer be contributing because you're going to have maxed out the IRS limit, but you're going to, most people max it out over 12 months and you're going to do it in eight. So you're going to get you're going to see your paycheck go up in September. Your September paychecks, October, November, and December are going to be higher because you're no longer contributing to your 401k because you did it in 8 months instead of over 12.
Got it.
Makes sense. So what you can do is you're so close to having it done. You might as well just, if it were me, I would just leave it alone for the time being. And then in September, your paychecks are going to go up because you're going to have already contributed to your 401k and maxed it out. Is in January. So I would set an alert in your phone right now that says in December, if you want to do everything in advance, so even November, because you're already done for the year. But starting in January, your new contribution limit, whatever the contribution is going to be for 2025, I would do the percentage so that you're doing it over 12 months and you're not doing it over 8 months. So for instance, let's just say next year, the limit is 24,000. I don't know if they've announced the 2025. Let's see, 2025 401k. Do we have that number yet? Well, let's just use the same number. So it's, let's just say next year, it's also going to be 23,000. So for 171,000, you would contribute a total, if you wanted to have it come out evenly across the year, it should be 13.4%, not 20. And then that would allow you to contribute more evenly, meaning contribute a partial amount 1 month over the course of the year versus doing all of your contributions in 8 months instead of 12.
Right.
So then your paychecks will be more comfortable. That makes sense?
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. So then let's say we get to like September 15th, right? I'm fully maxed out on this. Like essentially last year I was kind of like living off of no income and then got back to work, have this great income. And after a year of not having income, my lifestyle creep significantly diminished. Like
Yes.
And what I don't want to happen is to have that lifestyle creep again. So I'm trying to like live off of as little as possible and put as much away. So if it can't go into my 401k, like where should it be going?
Well, two things. One, you can find out if your 401k allows for a non-deductible contribution and then a in-plan conversion. And then what you could do is you could continue with this high contribution amount. You'll have to adjust your Roth and your pre-tax options because those are the IRS limit. But you can put more money in your 401k if you do it as a non-deductible dollar, if your plan allows it. And then your plan may allow for what's called an in-plan conversion. And then you can convert the non-deductible contributions into Roth. It's a little bit complicated. So I would just start with investigating whether or not your plan allows for non-deductible contributions. And if so, then ask the follow-up question of, do you allow for in-plan Roth conversions? And then go from there. The other option is you can contribute it to your non-retirement investments and continue to build your non-retirement investments. I don't think you need to have any more in cash. I think you have plenty saved in cash, given that all of your monthly expenses are just over $5,000. So if let's just say we left $5,000 in your personal checking, we moved another $13,000 and change over to your high yield savings. That's gets you to $27,000 in change in high yield savings. I think that's a comfortable spot for you to be if we consider what your fixed expenses are, even a little bit more. So I would leave that alone, but I would get that other money into the high yield savings. And then with the excess that you're going to get once you're maxed out with the 401k, it would be either, and this is a personal preference, it's either, do you want to see if there's availability to get more money in the Roth, which you can do via this in-plan conversion if your 401k has the features that I just mentioned. And if not, and you want to keep it a little simpler, you could just take the excess money and invest it into the market because I think you have enough in cash for the time being. Now, I think the one thing is I agree with you that I wouldn't let the lifestyle creep back in, especially given the fact that you would like to retire at 45, which I think the hard part about, so you're going to really have to ramp up saving over the next 10 years.
Yeah.
So to give you an idea, and this is just a textbook benchmark, but if you, I don't know if you've heard this, but to get an estimate of how much could your investments pay you, for instance, for an early retirement, what I like to do is if you want to retire at 45, I'd like to, and this is why I asked you to separate this, is I would like to separate your retirement monies from your non-retirement monies. And the reason why is, as we talked about, your retirement monies have the provision that if you take money before 59 and a half, there's a 10% penalty. Now, there are ways around that 10% penalty, but for purposes of this discussion, let's just say we're going to leave that alone, because what I don't like to do is I don't like to ever jeopardize what I like to call permanent retirement or old age retirement. If your money runs out at 75, you don't want to go back to work, right? So I don't like to jeopardize old age retirement, because anybody who's ever said, yeah, I'll be working at 75, I'm sure I still want to work. Nobody really wants to work at 75. And if they do, it's because they're capable of retirement. So if they're not having to work, they're choosing to work. And having and choosing are very different.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's really important to protect what I call the old age retirement. And so if we're going to do an early retirement, I like to separate it and then have enough for your early retirement, which is generally just in the ages here, would be those individually owned non-retirement assets. So the textbook rule here is 4%. Right. So if you get your non-retirement up, so let's just start, say you start saving 2000. Well, how much are you putting? Let's see. We have high yield. I'm just doing your breakdown into checking. So you have 2,746 going to high yields, your high yield savings account, and you have 4,120 going into your checking. Although in your checking, I'll just go back to my notes here. We had down that your total expenses for the month were 5,400, right? So if we're putting 4,120 in there, we don't quite have enough for the month. But I know that that's because, like, you put travel in there as you're budgeting monthly for it, even though it's like maybe once or twice a year, right?
Yeah.
So even if we took that out, that still gives you 49. So we're still a little shy on the checking. But let's just say the high yield savings, since you have enough in there now, we have, let's just say we'll take, I don't know, 1800. So we match up with the budget a little better. 1800 from there, that's monthly. And then let's say we have that 4 months where you're going to have the higher paycheck. So let's just say you're going to get another 1800 over 4 months from there. And that one's 12. So let's just say we could probably do, it's 12. You could probably add 21,600. And if you were really, really strict about it, you could probably do closer to 28,000. And that is me taking from your high yield savings, instead of allowing that to go into high yield savings, taking, I think you really need to put some more back in checking so that the monthly number we have is actually hitting checking. And then you can allocate the 500 a month and pre-save for vacations and so forth. So if we say we really need 5,400 a month minus what you're putting in checking, you're short like 1,300. So if we take the 2,746 that goes into high yield savings minus 1,300, that gives you 1,400, right, a month.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't go into high yield savings, but goes into the market instead. And so over 12 months, you're adding 17,000 into your, it was Betterment account, right?
Yeah.
And then if you get 2000 a month back over 4 months, give or take, depends on where you're going to fall, because the 401k turns off. So that's times four. That's another 8,000, right? That could go into the Betterment account plus your 17,000. That's 25,000 a year that goes into that account. And you could do, I mean, 10 years feels like a long time. I know, because you just started this job and you don't love corporate, but if you stuck with that, that's $25,000 a year going into your investment account. And that is 23,000 a year going into your 401k, right? So you're saving, you know, 48,000 a year, give or take. I'm sure there'll be months where things come up and it's not possible to do that. But if you save 25,000, you know, over 10 years in the investment account, that's 250,000 plus earnings, because it'll be invested plus what you've started with. So we could kind of extrapolate. Let's see what that would look like on an investment calculator. Okay, so we're going to start 30,764, and we're going to say that we're going to contribute monthly. Why don't we just use the 1,400 number, see what that looks like. And we'll say we have a rate of return of 7.2%, which is the compounding, the magic compounding interest, and you have 10 years. So that says that if you're doing 1,400 monthly with compounding return of 7.2% and you have 10 years to grow with the starting balance you currently have, and you add 1,400 a month to that, that'll be worth approximately 300,000.
Ugh.
Is
yeah.
Well, 300,000 is a lot of money. It's just not a lot of money to retire on.
Yeah. Ugh, it's so.
But so that would, yeah, that would generate 12,000 a year, which.
Yeah. It's tough. I feel really jaded. I think like living in New York for so long. So before this current apartment, I know this apartment's super cheap. Previously, my rent was almost $3,000 a month. Like living in New York is just so expensive.
Expensive. Yep.
That I think one of the most like shocking and depressing things that I've come to realize as my income has grown is, like, if you would have told me 10 years ago that I was making $200,000 a year, I would be like, that's, baby, that's yacht money. I'm going to have a house here, a house over there. Like, and it just, it's so far from that. It's like, that affords me to live comfortably, not in the lap of luxury, but just comfortably. And so to hear $300,000 a year, I'm like, that's a year and a half of work. That's what it gets mm-hmm. me. Like,
that is not telling you what your 401k will end up being, right? But the thing is, I don't want you to use your 401k to retire at 45. The reason why is life expectancy for a female is like into your 80s. So you need the money to last for 40 years, right? 45 years.
Right.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last 3 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day with no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel ready to take on my day. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. With AG1, I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from Whole Foods. I like to think of it as my nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases from the very start of the day. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, plus K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/future-rich. That's drinkag1.com/future-rich. Check it out. It's a long time. If you think about how long you contributed to the 401k, so let's just say this 401k, so we're starting with 14,300, right? And you're going to be contributing, I'm just going to do a monthly number just to even this out. So we're just going to say you're doing 1900 a month, right, on that account. Mm-hmm. So that actually ends up being worth with 7.2% compounding interest. This is just an estimate, 360,000, right? Because it's a higher contribution amount than what we're doing in the, so at that time, just using these two accounts, right, with these starting values, with these contributions over the next 10 years, you would have over, you know, close to $700,000 saved, not looking at the Roth, not looking at anything else. So that is a lot of money that you could accumulate in that time frame. That's also not looking at your business income. So you can really make a huge move in your net worth by using this really high income and what I will say are low expenses relative to the area. Right. So the benefit of being in the New York City area is the salaries are a lot higher. You aren't going to go upstate and get paid $170,000, right? Yeah. So you're in an area where there are all these industries that are highly paid and industries that aren't available in other parts of the world, right? Like,
totally.
So, but it's going to take time and a very high savings ratio for you to really see the effect of that. Does that make sense? saving $23,000 a year is great over 30 years or 40 years. But if you want to really see a big impact in 10 years, it has to be a very high savings ratio, which you're perfectly capable of doing. And what I would say is, I don't want the numbers to discourage you from doing it. I think you should still do this. And while $300,000 might not allow you to fully retire, it could allow you to say, I no longer have to save at this level anymore, right? Because I have enough money saved. So now if I do my own business at 45, all I need to worry about is supplementing my income. And I don't also additionally need to save for retirement. That's another way you could look at this.
Got it. Yeah, because that was my question. So like, it's like, what, I like how you're separating like old age retirement versus like fun money retirement. But like
young retirement, so early retirement. Yeah.
So in this equation of like, I want to retire by 45, I get access to my old age retirement at essentially 60. That's 15 years of living expenses that I will need to cover. And I guess my question is for this as well, like, if I am even be able to execute living expenses for those 15 years, mm-hmm. how do I think about, and would I need to think about adding to retirement to that during that time as well?
No, I don't think so. Cause I think it would, so it'll depend on twofold. One, I am a big believer of Social Security. I think it's one of our, best entitlement systems that we've created as a country. I think it has a marketing problem, frankly. And so I would pull your Social Security statement. You can do that now. It's ssa.gov, and see what the projected amount is that you're going to get. You're not going to collect at 60, but our age probably will be, it's currently 67 is full retirement. It's probably going to be 70, but just see what that number is, right? Because that's a fixed amount that will come in monthly. And that's a good number to know. So if you retire at 60, you know, what I like to envision is like another train car pulls in at 70 with money, right? Because no one turns down money and you've contributed to it. So even though people say it's not going to matter, like, well, if you're getting $2,000 a month, that's actually pretty nice if you think about it.
Yeah,
totally. That's a nice way to start your month. I mean, when people give it a bad rap, it's like, well, if you don't want it, you don't give it away, right? Like, if you don't want $2,000 a month, you could give it to somebody who would be happy for it. So I think the Social Security has to be fixed and will be fixed because it's our largest entitlement system. It hasn't been really made over in around 100 years. So anything else that's 100 years old has probably had a facelift or a remodel. Yeah. Yeah. So the system just hasn't had enough attention. Obviously, after 100 years, if it was a house, it would be falling down if no one did anything to it.
Right.
So I would look at your SSA.gov statement and see what that's going to be at 70, because that's a key factor in mm-hmm. my opinion. It is, for most people today, the largest source of income that they have in retirement, and that's not where you want to be in retirement. So that's good to know that you want it to be a supplement to your retirement and not the largest source of income, right? So whatever that number is, that should, in my opinion, represent around a third of what your income should be in retirement to be comfortable. So that two-thirds of your income you've supplied and Social Security supplies around one third. So I think what would be, and these are all estimates because it's whether or not you retire in New York City and decide to stay there.
Right.
But if you didn't touch all your investments, like if you actively, what I would call front load your old age retirement between now and 45, and then at 45, you said, I have enough saved, because based on our estimates, you'll have 700. So let's just say with everything else, let me just see here. Okay, so we're not adding to any of the other ones. So we had a total of 53,000 in retirement, but I'm going to subtract out the 401k because you're adding to that. So that's already been accounted for. So that's 30. So let's say we have another 39, and over 10 years that goes to, insert would go to 80. So let's say you have around 780 at 45. That's a great number. So let's start with the positive, right? Like that, if you're able to save, which is a very aggressive saving ratio over the next 10 years, you're going to end up with, depending on the market, if we were averaging 7.2, let's just say somewhere between $700,000 and $800,000 saved. That's fantastic, right? So then at that point, if you don't touch any of that money and you're 45, we'll just use the higher number. And at 45 years old, you got yourself to a net worth of $800,000, right? Mm-hmm. Then at 55, right, that goes to 1.6 million, right? And let's just be conservative and use 65 as your old age retirement, because 1.6 should then go to 3.2 million, right? That's without adding. That's just with compounding of interest of 7.2%. And so if you have 3.2 million at 65, right, and you're pulling 4% off of that, you're able to pull $128,000 a year off of that portfolio. And you still have Social Security.
Yeah, that sounds better.
So that sounds better. So if I said to you, for the next 10 years, you should be saving around $50,000 a year. So $23,000 in your 401k, you'll max it out. And then the rest of it goes into your investment account, right? Which we worked out to be the $1,400 a month, and then plus this next $8,000 or over the next 4 months, right? Because, and then we'll fix it so it evens out to be a monthly number. You're not front loading the 401k next year. And if you can commit to that, and there'll be months where it doesn't happen, right? Something comes up and you need extra cash, or you decide to take a more expensive vacation, then you budget it $6,000 a year for vacation, and vacation goes to $8,000 one year, whatever.
Yeah.
But if you can commit to that and do that on a regular interval over the next 10 years, I think what the opportunity is, it's not that you can retire, but that you can have your own business again and not have the obligation to be saving for retirement, because you've set yourself up that you have a lot in retirement and then you also have a lot in non-retirement. So if your business needed something, you could lend against that, right? You could lend against that to get money for a down payment, so you don't have to deplete those investments if you don't want to. Then you give yourself what I like to call optionality. Optionality to me is the most important thing. I think it's more important than really anything else, but you're going to save for 10 years to buy yourself options at 45. What they are, we don't know, but I would think that you would have the option to have your own business again, not have the need to have it make $200,000, but have it make $100,000. So maybe you're working half the time and all you need to do are cover your costs, but you don't need to save $50,000 a year for retirement anymore.
Yeah. Can I ask you one question just to make sure that I'm following? So going back to like redistributing right now, how I'm allocating my income. So I should consider putting $1,400 a month towards these exchange investments.
Into your investment account. Yeah, because you're putting it into high yield savings, and 5% fixed over 10 years is not going to dramatically increase your net worth as much as, I don't know what your returns have been on those investments. So I just used an average of 7.2%, but you can probably go in and see what the returns have been historically on those investments.
And then let's say September 15th, I max out my retirement contributions, then I should up this by $400. Is that correct? Or $800?
So I would actually do even more into your investment accounts, because if I'm correct, you should get another, some of it's pre-tax and post-tax, but you should get, let's just say, another $2,000 back in your paycheck for September, October, November, and December, give or take. So I would put that in the investment account as well. And then starting next year, what I would do is I would do your 401k contribution over 12 months and not 8. And then I would also, I would change your the amount going into your checking to match what your budget is.
Right.
And then the balance of that, nothing needs to go into high yield savings, whatever the difference is there, that goes into investments.
Okay. So 1400 goes into non-retirement investments until mid-September. Mm-hmm. And then once that hits, it should really be 3400.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then next year it should be,
it'll just be level.
It'll be evened out. Yeah. You have, because monthly you have 6,866 coming in, right? But that should go up because you're not going to have the 401k maxed out. So let's just say you're bringing in, I'm just going to do 2,000. You'll have 8,866 coming in, and then we'll subtract out what you need for your budget, which is pre-allocating for vacation, which I like. So just minus the 5,400. So you have there 3,400 left over.
Yeah.
I would give yourself a little more wiggle room than I would take if that all pans out, right? Because the tax ramification, the pre-tax, you're going to not see as much of that back as you would in the 401k, because it's a pre-tax expense and that's the majority of your contribution. But I would take at least 2,000 of that, and I would put 2,000 of that 3,400 that we in theory have left over, and I would put that in the investment account.
Got it. And right now what I have in high yield savings is like enough. So like just my check really should be going to my personal checking to cover my monthly expenses.
Yep. And your monthly expenses, and then the rest, and you can give yourself more of a buffer. Yeah. And then the rest I would be investing. Yeah. If you add $13,000 from your personal checking into your high yield savings account, you have $27,000 in your high yield savings account.
Yeah.
That's like 5 months of money, like in everything with vacation allocation. So I think that's fine. But I do agree with you, because you went through a period and you just paid off all this credit card debt. So you've readjusted the lifestyle creep, right? Which is not a fun process to readjust down.
No, yeah, I'm with you. It is, there's so much ego death, and it is just so humbling and not fun. But I'm here now, and I feel like I have a lot of perspective, and like trying to take that after like an incredibly difficult emotional, financial, mental, everything year, the glimmer of hope from that is that like, okay, this was a very productive financial reset, and just like, you know, how to be happy with less, not feel like I'm cutting and I'm lacking and I'm sad and that I'm missing things, but like genuinely getting to a place where I'm happy and content having a smaller life, you know?
Yeah. And is there anything that you gave up that like you miss tremendously and feel like your life isn't complete without?
No, I think I did for a while. And I think it's honestly, it just, in so many ways, it felt like grieving the sort of lifestyle or status or, you know, how I indulged and what I indulged in. And like, I feel like I'm past that now. I've mourned, I've grieved that. And now I'm just like, I don't feel like I'm missing or lacking anything.
Yeah. I think that this is a unique opportunity now that you're back making basically about the income you were with the business to get back in there. So I would use an opportunity to be like, I'm happy with where I am, and I don't need all of these things that society says I need or to live this lifestyle society implies I should have because of my income. And I'm going to use it to have something tangible at the end of it, right? So after 10 years, my goal is that I have a big net worth that will allow me to do something that most people can't, which is to get off the corporate hamster wheel.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's pretty much it, is that like, I feel like I've gotten to a point where I'm like, no, the biggest flex isn't like a cool flashy car or a cool membership here or there, whatever, cool clothes. It's like the biggest flex is if I can retire early. Like that is, to me, there is no bigger flex. Like that is what I want. So
yeah, to have financial security and options because you did something that most people aren't willing to do, which is to increase their savings ratio, keep their expenses low, and move the needle for themselves. Because a decade actually, as you know, will go very quickly. And in the scheme of your entire life, to spend 10 years changing your financial trajectory isn't really that long. It takes most people 30 years, right, to save and accrue. So if you're able to do a meaningful, like this would be a meaningful change, right? We would go from having a total of what, 100,000 to somewhere near 8 in 10 years. That's a very meaningful difference.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your insight and your help and your thoughts. This has been really illuminating. I mean, I said this earlier, but I think there's such a degree of like, yes, gratitude with the income that I have, but also overwhelm of being like, I don't know what to do with this. And so often what would end up happening is that I'd use it in really like non-productive ways, like going shopping or doing, you know, like, and having my expenses not really align with what my overall ultimate goal is.
Yeah, well, I absolutely think this is an opportunity. I think that your expenses relative to your income are very reasonable. And so what I would do is max out the 401k, but over 12 months. And then I would just set the payroll to go and match your expenses, which is like 5,400. You could bump it up and do 6,000. And then the balance of that all gets invested. Mm-hmm. And then don't look at it for a decade. And then we'll have to have you back on. Maybe we'll have you back on sooner to see what the progress is. But
oh my God. Yeah. Accountability, please.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Barbara. I loved this conversation.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on. And for all of our lovely listeners, if you like the show, please share it with a friend. and subscribe and follow below because we really would appreciate it. And you can follow our Instagram at Future Rich Podcast for our most up-to-date information. Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.